on WBRI 1500 in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Band Cheer Show.
I have to look at you another day.
Count your blessings one by one.
Is this the situation going on today?
The situation for you today is you have to look at me for the next 15 minutes.
All right.
Exactly. I'm glad you brought that up, Dan, because God has unfolded a series of situations for man, not so that he can find anything out. Do you think God really unrolls the time so that he can find things out about man? No, he knows all about man, but he is so loving that he has to show man things for himself. When God in the garden said, "Adam, where are you?" He knew where Adam was.
Are you sure about that?
No, I'm wondering now.
Are you sure God didn't just walk by that rock in the garden, didn't see him there?
I think God's like, "Adam, where are you?
Oh,
Adam,
pardon me.
Where are you?
Yeah, where'd you go?
Where are you, Adam? Oh no. What happened?
Oh, I'm here, Lord. I'm here. Whew, I thought I lost you, Adam.
I can just see God conferring with the angels. An angel comes up to God and reports to him, "Oh, something terrible has happened in Eden." God says, "What do you mean something terrible has happened in Eden? I set those people up perfectly. What could have possibly gone wrong?" "Well, you know that tree that you told them not to eat from?" "Of course, I know the tree." "Well, the serpent came today and..." "Don't tell me." "Yes, Eve ate the fruit." "What? Restly forbid those two from eating from that tree. Oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What are you going to do, God?" "I don't know. I'll have to come up with a solution. Well, I guess I'll have to come up with a savior now." As if the savior was a
second thought.
God had to scramble through his files.
Pay attention. If you go back and listen to this program and listen to what Martin just said. Imagine if God were like that. How shaky a foundation would the world be?
That's the way the world thinks about God. That's why people are in turmoil today and have no peace, because they think God's putting out fires all around the world.
And
he's over in one quadrant of the universe, and then something happens on the other quadrant, and he has to run over there. What just happened? Well, somebody bombed the embassy over here. What? Oh, no. And he's over there, and then on the other side, there's a dictator now in Venezuela. What? How did that happen? He races over there and tries to put out. What? As if the devil is the one springing up these various evils. God is a fire hose, and he's just beside himself trying to put all the fires out. That's not
the point of these 12 administrations is that God is in absolute complete control. Everything is for a purpose. God is operating all things in accord with the counsel of his own will. That is one of the great lessons. And that all these things are purposeful. There, you know, people always talk about, "Oh, it's such a mess. Obama's president, it's a mess." Or the conservatives would say, "Clinton's president, what a mess." Or the liberals would say, "Bush's president, what a mess." Nothing is a mess. Everything is calculated. God has a purpose. God plans things. He purposes them. And that's the difference between God and a heathen idol. Christianity has a heathen God almost, because he's a reactionary God, wondering what to do next. But the God of Scripture is a God who is operating all things in accord with the counsel of his own will. And that's why teaching these administrations is comforting, to know that all the things that are happening in the eons are purposeful. There's a purpose for them. They're not just a God reacting to situations. He is creating them.
Yeah, he is.
And he's doing that for a reason.
Yes, he creates them himself. And remember that God has humanity's ultimate good in mind, and ultimate peace. And I don't know if you've ever experienced this in your life. I think you have, but reflect with me here.
Hold on a second.
Yes. What are you doing?
Cranking up my brain. Okay.
I
didn't have any coffee today.
Okay, you got it wound up now. You know, you've been through times in your life where you strain to produce something, either in your job or in your personal life, and you're beside yourself. You get to the point of tears, of pressure. You just can't do anymore. You're juggling 12 jobs at the same time, and you know, you reach that point, you're ready to crack. You ever reach that point? You're ready to blow.
Mm-hmm.
And if something doesn't happen, you're going to have a nervous breakdown and become catatonic. Well, God has brought all humanity to that point, but I don't know if you've ever noticed this, that when you reach that point, many people experience an epiphany of sorts. They finally, after exhausting every human resource, put it in God's hand.
Mm.
And then a really miraculous thing happens, a very strange thing that you wouldn't expect when you give up. Peace comes.
Uh-huh.
Because you have put it in the hands of God, and now it's no longer your effort, and God works. And we have seen this again and again in our lives, and we see it in the Scripture. Example of the human exhausting his resources and coming to the place, just like Job did. I was a religious man. I tried to do everything. I sacrificed for my kids, and just in case they forgot, I said my prayers every day. And, you know, I didn't realize who you were, God, until now, until I'd been through all these trials, until I lost everything and realized that my prayers, my work for you didn't amount to anything. And at that point, he says, I have heard of you, now I see you. And that is a place God is bringing all humanity through this series, this sane, rational, and traceable series of situations in which man is given further advantages. Each administration, man progresses, he gets more advantages. The things that are given in the previous administration carry over into the new administration. And even then he fails, and even then he fails, and even then he fails. This is for our ultimate good. I know it sucks in the interim because you're laying waste and you're still trying. We're still in the mode, not you and me personally, but this country, this world is still in the mode of trying. We have not given up yet as a nation or as a people. We individually have. If Christ is in you, you already know this. You've learned the lesson of seeing it in the Scripture. The world doesn't even follow Scripture. They're still living the lesson. They don't know why the law came. They don't know why human government is destined to fail.
They don't know why there's all these issues in Congress right now.
No.
Why is this economy? People are looking for a utopia they will never get. They will never get. And let me give you a hint. Not even this president can get us there. Not the next one. Not the one after that. No president can get you there. No Congress can get you there. No religion can get you there. It's all destined to fail. And guess what? That's called real pessimism, right? Pauline pessimism.
Pessimism. It's destined to fail. You know, that is so huge. And I don't know if you folks realize the extent of what, I mean, the real truth of what we're telling you. The whole system is designed to fail. That's what this series of demonstrations is for.
Yeah.
And again, it has to be by experience.
Exactly.
It's not theoretical. We ended last show talking about Paul, chapters 1, 2, and 3 of Romans. And if Paul had said that before Genesis, if Paul showed up in the Garden of Eden and preached this, nobody would have believed it. You wouldn't have believed that man could be so inept that we can't even follow 10 simple instructions, the law of Moses. You had to walk it out. You had to see it. And God has brought us to the end through these 12 situations. Let's go through these, Dan.
Okay.
By the end of the week, our goal is, now this is our puny little goal, but we want to give you some highlights of these different, I'm not going to call them time periods, I'm going to call them situations and demonstrations of human ineptness.
Okay, we're going to go number one on these administrations we have. Well, we initially called it conscience, but I think you and I both discussed it's not a biblical term.
Well, the innocence.
Yeah, the innocence. We can, and I like to, as you pointed out, we talked in private, that probably better to call this the time before Adam had a knowledge of good and evil.
That's right.
That's the first time, the first administration we see. And remember, when God created man, man had no knowledge of good or evil. When God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, became a living soul. He came direct from the hands of God. Adam did not come from the soil, praising God, loving God, worshiping God, or anything. Adam was born in a perfect creation. He came direct from the hands of God and had a job to do. He had no knowledge of good and evil. You know, religion actually taught that Adam came from the bosom of God, praising him, wanting to keep the commandments.
No.
That's, by the way, our friend who wrote that letter, the covenant theologian. Covenant theologians teach that. I got it in their writings, that Adam had this knowledge and he worshiped the true and living God and all, as if he could. There was no contrast. He couldn't do that. Adam had no knowledge of good and evil. It came from the hand of God and was told to do a job.
How many of my listeners have gotten frustrated at some time in your Christian walk at Adam? Why didn't you people just do the right thing? Why didn't you people just not eat? We wouldn't be in this mess. All you had to do was not eat the stupid fruit. How hard was that? You idiots! If I had been there, I would have obeyed God and wouldn't have gotten us into this mess. You people, if you think that, you don't understand that it was impossible for them to have known the consequences. Because, as Dan rightly pointed out, not only did they not have the knowledge of evil, they didn't have the knowledge of good. They didn't. They were. The perfect word is innocence. That's a good word to describe them.
Good.
It was the most precarious position man has ever been in.
Mm.
And rightly so, Adam and Eve could have said, God, you know, how could we have succeeded? We didn't know any better. And it's true, they didn't.
No.
So their argument could have been, God, we didn't know any better. And so something happened when that fruit was eaten, and they then had the knowledge of good and evil. Something was given to them by God at that time that they did not have before that time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a conscience.
Yep. Now they had a knowledge of good and evil.
Now they had a... So now, here's another advantage. Now, watch what happens as we go through these. Each one has an advantage. Each new administration and new dispensation has an advantage given to man that he did not have before. Adam could rightly say, I was set up to fail. I couldn't have done it. Now, okay, God says, okay. Remember, God is speaking to man like an ant, like a little baby. He's using the language of humans. Okay. I'm going to give you a conscience now. I'm going to be leaving the garden. I'm paraphrasing, and this is from the Zender International version. I'm going to be leaving the garden now, and I'm going to leave you with something you didn't have before, a conscience. Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 1.
Right.
Human beings have a conscience. We now, a conscience is a fancy word for a knowledge of good and evil.
Yeah.
And so under this condition, now we're going to see how, I mean, now that you have a conscience, it's going to be smooth sailing. Right?
So Genesis 1 and 2,
Genesis
we have innocence. 1
and
now
2.
Genesis 3.
Genesis 3.
Now they have a conscience.
Now they have a conscience. And Dan Sheridan, can you tell me what happened to the world and the population of the world in Genesis after they were given
God
a conscience?
God done drowned them out.
Well, why did he drown them out? I thought that conscience was
because they were so darn good that God couldn't put up with the goodness. Didn't want competition.
I thought conscience was going to give them a utopia.
No, not at all.
Not a utopia?
God had to drown them out.
God, isn't that interesting? Now that they have the advantage of conscience, what does that bring? A worldwide flood because humanity became irrevocably evil after being given the amazing gift of a conscience. Imagine that.
Yeah.
The conscience took the place of God walking in the garden. When God left, he gave the conscience. The conscience is like the thing God puts in your mind with a God suit. God is somehow living in a way inside you that he never was before. You have a knowledge of good and evil, very primitive, and yet you have it. And the result is mankind became exceedingly wicked. They sinned as a vocation, and God brought a flood on the ancient world.
Mm.
Wow. What happened next? Well, we're going to tell you. I guess we're going to tell you tomorrow what happened next.
All right.
Because what happened next, you are not going
to
believe.
We've taken you from Genesis 1 to Genesis 8. Tomorrow we'll take you to Genesis 9. We're going to go through the whole Bible.
You're darn right we're going to go through the whole Bible. Don't try this at home, folks.